Have you ever wandered into the men's room only to find that it was actually the ladies, or vice versa? Have you ever been late for a crucial appointment because by the time you found the right bus to catch, through asking the drivers and asking people around you, the bus you wanted had gone? Well, there are only two reasons why the talking signs technology could change your life for the better. Earlier this week, I recorded an interview with Ward Bond of Talking Signs, and I need to apologize that due to a couple of technical glitches with lots of things happening on the computer at once, there's just a little bit of skipping in this interview in places. Nevertheless, it's still audible, and I began by asking Ward to tell us a little bit about talking signs for those people who are new to the technology.
Talking signs are infrared remote signs, the generic name. It's a sign system that's composed of infrared transmitters that transmit short human voice messages, which can be a location or a landmark, and are picked up by a receiver that's held by the blind person or the visually impaired person or perhaps print handicapped. And as one scans the environment, you pick up a men's room, women's room, reception desk, bell captain, whatever. So you can find your way through the environment. We try to emulate the sign system that's in the graphic sign system. So it's not long instructional messages.
Could it be argued that this is the equivalent to the access that people with physical disabilities have enjoyed for some years to buildings?
Well, I think so. I think it could be argued that the barriers to a person with visual impairments are perhaps greater than barriers that that have to do with physical disabilities, but certainly they're equivalent, I would think.
How long has this technology been developing for? Because it seems to be growing and becoming more reliable, more sophisticated, but when did it all start?
Well, it's actually 20 years old now. The Smith-Kettlewell Eye Research Institute in San Francisco first developed it about 1980, and it stayed in the laboratory pretty much until 1993, when Talking Signs Incorporated was founded, and the prototype systems were taken and made into products, and commercially they have been sold in San Francisco for 5 years or so. And now they're being sold quite a lot around the world. There are quite a few going into Japan right now. And we're starting this summer with Europe. And we have them in Austin, Texas, and some in Connecticut, Boston, primarily looking at transit systems, starting with transit systems, airports, university campuses. We have three university campuses that are putting them in now, Wright State University in Dayton, UC Berkeley, and UC Santa Barbara. And governmental buildings, we're expecting we'll be doing shopping centers pretty soon. We get quite a lot of emphasis from when we ask people what they'd like. The first emphasis is bus systems, and the second to be shopping centers.
It's necessary for the blind person or the user of the talking signs technology to purchase a receiver, is that right, or can you rent one?
Well, what's happening in San Francisco, where that's really our location, is that the mayor's office received contributions from foundations, and they're using those to purchase receivers and give to the individuals. Also, the Veterans Administration in San Francisco purchased a receiver for a blinded veteran. And I think that that's in other areas. If as time goes by. So we haven't really been selling them directly to blind people yet. We're trying to find other solutions where they're provided.
How much do the receivers actually cost to produce, or how much would you sell them for if that became a necessity?
The price on the receiver is $265. And that, you know, is based on fairly small volumes. So we're looking to introduce a product toward the end of the year, which would be a small transmitter and a receiver as a package. And that small transmitter could be used by the blind individual to put in his front window and plug in to the wall for power, which would be identification of the house. Or he could unplug it and go to battery and take it with him to put as a marker, say, on the hotel room or at a restaurant table or whatever he might want to identify. And the third use of that is that you can plug in a little wire that has a single light-emitting diode on a pin and pin it to your lapel, and it becomes a name tag. So transmit about 8 feet, and it would say your name. And, of course, in a, like at an ACB convention or something, I think it'd be very valuable. And obviously not only would the visually impaired person be wearing the name tag, others there would wear name tags as well.
Yeah, that's one of the big problems, is catching up with people you wanted to see in a big environment like that. So give me an example of that. Because talking signs is directional, it's working on an infrared system. How would I, let's say that I was at an ACB convention in a room with a lot of other conventioners, and they all had one of these talking sign type transmitters on, a lapel type thing. How would I hone in on one particular individual and then make my way up to them and tap them on the shoulder?
First of all, the basic to the technology is that you'll only ever pick up one transmission at a time. It always picks up the strongest transmission. So if you're aiming directly at the person, you would pick it up. Now, conceptually, these ideas may change, but at this point, it would be on the front of the person. So if you were behind him, you wouldn't pick him up, but you would pick up whoever was facing you. And then if you move the receiver to the left, you'll either change name tags to the person standing adjacent and move the receiver to the right, and you change name tags. And so you know, you can identify exactly where that person is standing. Now, how far away that person may be is another issue. But it would be set for a short range, you know, 8 or 10 feet or something like that. So as you sort of mingled, you would pick up people.
So I understand the concept that you could sort of scan around you with the receiver, almost like finding the left extreme of the signal and the right extreme of the signal, like tuning in a radio, and then you would center in on that signal and know that you were dead center. But so that gives you a sense of directionality. But how do you get a sense of proximity? You know, how close you are?
That's not in the technology yet. In the wayfinding, now the name tag, incidentally, is something that's brand new, so we don't have a lot of experience with it. But as far as in the wayfinding situation, say you're in a hotel lobby and you're standing in the center of the lobby and you do a 360-degree turn, and as you turn, you would pick up a bell captain, registration desk, gift shop, elevator, sequentially, as you sort of did a 360-degree turn, then say you wanted to go to the reception desk, and you could center it and find the exact direction for the reception desk, and you start walking in that direction, and Of course, the thing that talking signs is an orientation device, it is in no way to be considered a mobility device. So you continue to use your cane, or if you have a dog, you use the dog techniques. And you simply keep going until your cane hits something, and that would probably be the reception desk. It might be a barrier between you and the reception desk. So you would work your way around the barrier with your mobility skills, just like you would if you didn't have talking signs. If you lose the signal, you might back up and see if you picked it. Say if it's an archway that you're going through, well, that means you've gone under it. But it means you either have arrived or you have passed the sign and are heading. The sign, for instance, might say two rooms. If you lose that sign, you probably are going down a hallway, and you keep going down that hallway until you find men's room or you find women's room.
I'm interested in the kind of reaction you've received from the blind community to talking signs, because there seems to be, I guess, what I would describe as a conservative element in the blind community that says that a lot of this technology seeks to, you know, fudge the real skills of blindness, etc. I mean, have talking signs been universally embraced by the blind community?
Well, we have found that blind individuals, regardless of affiliation, have been very enthusiastic about it. I think that the legitimate concern of people that if this is only going to be in certain places, that it would tend to, say, cause a bias toward sort of maybe narrowing your experience to the places that had talking signs, which would in a way narrow your life experience because of enhanced accessibility in certain places. Hopefully, the accessibility or talking signs would become universal at some point. This is refusable technology. If you don't have a receiver, you don't know it's there, so it's not something that's obnoxious to the rest of the population. And if you don't want to participate in it, you certainly can choose not to. So it's not, we have not run into any opposition to date from anyone.
From the provider's perspective, how much does a good set of talking signs, let's say in your average public building, cost to set up?
The cost of the signs for the design and programming, recording, the equipment, and the calibration and so forth, comes to about $1,000 per sign. That does not count the wiring issues, which are different for each situation, and the wiring is usually done by electrical contractors working for the client. So we don't pull wire and that sort of thing. So that would be on top of that.
So it's a reasonably expensive proposition. I mean, if you're in quite a large government building or, say, a museum, something like that, it's not going to run that cheap.
No, I wouldn't say it would be that cheap, but relative to the cost of putting in accessible equipment for people with physical disabilities, I don't think there's a great deal of difference there.
That's interesting. So, and that's the kind of parallels that you seek to draw when promoting the talking signs, that really there hasn't until recent times, until talking signs really came of age, been an option to give blind people that same sort of accessibility, has there? So, you know, now that there is, there's probably some obligation to treat all disabilities fairly.
I think so. And I think we're going to see regulatory language start moving in that direction. But I also find that the existence of the accessibility for physically disabled people has sort of set the tone that people are now wanting to make their places accessible. They think that it's the right thing to do. And we're finding very cooperative attitudes among people.
Are they a much larger market, though, those with physical access needs? I'm thinking, for instance, that it's not just wheelchair users or people with some sort of mobility impairment that benefit from ramps and elevators, for instance, but also mothers or parents carrying strollers. So the market's a bit bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to find that the market for talking signs is going to be also, I think we're going to find when they get installed that they'll be used by others than visually impaired people. I think the thing that's driving the talking signs technology in Japan is the sensitivity in Japan to issues of aging. And, of course, you have visual impairments more, you know, onset in aging. But the whole issue of having an audible sign for a person, an elderly person, is a redundant system that helps them find their way and not be confused by the environment. So I think we're going to see that a lot of people start using talking signs as time goes by.
You mentioned transit systems briefly, and that must be a huge help. On a good day, you can be on a bus, particularly in the US, and hear announcements about the stops and know when to get off. But, of course, often locating the correct bus to get on in the first place is where the difficulties are, and that's where talking signs could be of huge help, I imagine.
Yes, we find that if you ask visually impaired folks what they really want from this technology, buses is at the top of the list. And with the system, you first can find the bus shelter or the bus stop, and it'll tell you what the bus is. Actually, we have a system now being put in that we're integrated into called Next Bus. A company that is putting a sign on bus shelters that tells you how many minutes to the next bus, with the destination sign, identification of the bus, and how many minutes it is. And that's a visual sign that has our system embedded in it with a text-to-voice converter. So we're making that information accessible to the blind traveler. Then you can point your receiver in the direction that the bus is coming, and when the bus is 120 or so feet away, you pick up the message of on the front of the bus, which is the destination sign. And then it's transmitting out the side as well at the door. So you can locate the door, and it's continuously transmitting. So if there are, say, three buses lined up at the curb, you can walk down the line of buses and identify what each bus without having to find it or ask somebody or, you know, whether it's there or not.
Now, in reading the email lists from the U.S., I note that there's a lot of variation regarding the quality of the bus announcements, whether they occur at all, and if you're lucky enough to have them occur, whether they're actually audible, understandable. So can this technology also be used so that you can be sitting in the bus with your talking signs receiver and have a reliable announcement through your receiver of the stop that you're just approaching?
Yes, of course. The thing that that I think so far people have the sense that the next bus announcement is a public address in the bus is something that the general population appreciates and wants to hear. So I think the emphasis is on public address for the next bus announcements inside the bus. There may come a time when people feel like they don't need every street announced, and that becomes an irritant, say, if you're trying to read or something. And one of the possibilities would be where the major bus, the major stop announcements come as a public address, and the in-between announcements might come infrared, so that the blind person could pick up the in-between stops. But I think, as a general rule, from what I understand, the general public is very happy to have the public address next bus announcements.
Synergies between other technologies. On Main Menu a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking with Michael May from the Sendero Group about their GPS system. And obviously, I would imagine the last thing many people want is to be carrying a multitude of technologies. Is there going to be some sort of alliance so that a talking sign receiver could be embedded in this GPS navigation system when it gets off the ground, or vice versa?
Well, Mike May and I have discussed this on many occasions, and I think it's inevitable. Reg Gollidge, who is a professor at University of California, Santa Barbara, is also developing GPS for he's blind himself, for use by blind people, and you know they're perfectly complementary ideas. I can't think of two technologies that are more complementary. And, I think inevitably they will be combined in a single device. How that takes place is another question.
The receivers that are on the market today, how audible are they in noisy environments? If you're in a bus station or a train station, that can get pretty busy, auditorily speaking. So how do you get on for volume?
Well, we have in the current version a high and a low, or high and sort of normal setting, so you can pick up the voice louder. You could hold it up to your ear if you wanted to. But we also have a jack for an earphone, which you could put an earphone and pick it up that way.
I'm wondering, it's interesting how many people with congenital conditions that cause blindness also have some degree of deafness or hearing impairment, and those people are wearing hearing aids. Some of them have the ability to have the T-switch for a hearing loop and the regular microphones, which of course are essential to navigating the environment, on at the same time. Is there any facility that might exist either now or in the future so that the hearing loop facilities of a hearing aid can be used to pick up the talking sign information?
It's interesting that you should mention that, because next month we're meeting in New York with the RERC. Smith Kettlewell is an RERC rehabilitation, let's see, engineering research center, NIDR grant system. Well, there's one for hard of hearing in Buffalo, New York. And they're getting together, actually, and exploring these issues about synergy. And so it's a very timely thought.
Now, the convention season is coming up. Both NFB and ACB have conventions. Will you be exhibiting at both of those?
Well, we have a hard time covering everything, so we will be at ACB, but... this year we won't be at NFB.
Okay. So for those who are going to Louisville, what can they expect? Will they be able to give a bit of a demo of these talking signs?
Yeah, we'll have an area probably around the exhibit hall, which will have 15 or 20 signs to give you a kind of a good sense of what it's like to have a talking sign rich environment, be very happy to lend people receivers to go take a test drive.
That sounds fantastic. Have you got a vision in mind for when you expect this technology to reach some sort of critical mass, you know, so that you can confidently wander into any city in the Western world, let's say, and actually have this technology working reliably?
It's very hard to say what things happen, but there's things that have happened recently. We've picked up quite a bit of attention from the American Association of Airport Executives, who are, and so we're getting a lot of inquiries from airports. The Intelligent Transportation Society of America, which is made up of the government agencies and transit companies and the industry that services those, have an annual award that they give out in the transportation industry for improvement in quality of life. And 2 weeks ago, Talking Signs won that award. So it's we're getting the concept is getting recognized as functional and a product available that it works. And I think when it gets to the point where people are comfortable that it's here to stay and that it truly solves the problem, then I think that could happen fairly quickly.
You have an excellent website which details a lot of information about the technology and its use and regularly updated press releases, etc., nice and accessible. How do people find that to get more information?
TalkingSigns.com. It's real easy, one word, TalkingSigns.com.